In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your Frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it, cut to it, let's get down to it, cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
You know it's on.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
You know it's on.
It's on.
Yeah. You know it's on.
Man, we want to welcome to the Cut to a Podcast. We have a WWE wrestler nickname. I'm not even going to say the other part, just greatness. When anytime your nickname involves greatness, I think it's really special. And then your signature move, your pop-up spine buster.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how you do the spine buster, yeah. But my spine is cringing thinking about it. And also too, not to hold it against him, he's from Ohio, where they still have not fixed football. Thank you. Welcome to the Cut to It Podcast, Angelo Dawkins.
Good. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
Got my Bengals shirt on for you too.
Okay.
He's a proud Bengals fan. Like, that's all you see on your social media. Like, you hold no punches when it comes to your fandom for the Bengals.
Oh, nah, not at all.
Man, I mean, you shouldn't be. You should be excited. You obviously are living in a state with two teams that haven't really did much most of their NFL experience, but yet you have this 1 year of hope that you believe is going to change decades and decades of failure. So I'm happy that you're there.
Oh, thanks.
Now,
hey, as much smack as I talk, I can't really lie. So, I'm 31 years old.
So you talk
so, like, when they went to the postseason, I was like, hey, just give me one playoff win.
Yeah.
I've not seen a playoff win in my life of being on this earth. And they were one play away from winning the Super Bowl.
I agree.
So I'm like, hey, you know what? Y'all gave me everything I hoped for.
So we had The Miz on, and he's a Browns fan.
Yeah.
So you said you talk smack. Like, do you talk smack to The Miz? I mean, he's a Browns fan. You a Bengals fan? Like, what's that interaction? Are you okay?
Of course I talk smack to him. You know, I mean, look, he was going through it this year. You know, he thought that they were going to, you know what I'm saying, make it to the Super Bowl. Everything the Bengals did.
He did?
He thought the Browns were going to do. Everything Joe Burrow came out to be.
Why are you shocked?
He thought that the Browns were going to have that kind of success.
Brother, do you not watch?
He really did.
Do you not watch the Detroit Lions fan base? They think they're going to win every year.
I just thought there was a little bit of sensibility, but we did have the same conversation with him, so it's not like this is new information.
It was so all over the place. We couldn't. But what is it like for you to argue with The Miz when pretty much both of the team, like, you're like, you guys are arguing over the last now later?
I would say rose colored glasses, but they were clearly brown colored glasses.
actually, not a now later. It's like, y'all are arguing, yeah. Well, you have a bigger piece of moldy bread than I do.
I mean, look, you know, we get it. both Ohio teams haven't been particularly great
in the last two decades.
Yeah, true. But if you really look at it, Cincinnati's had more of the success than Cleveland has ever had. We could say that, right?
You know what I'm saying? I would agree
Cleveland
with
had like one little spurt 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like at least Cincinnati's made the playoffs. Like there was a point in time where like, oh, yo, Cincinnati could be like do something, but they just kept losing in the wild card round.
Yeah, I would give you that. I would give you. And because of that, that's how you guys have put yourself in a position now to really be in a conversation of a young team that's, if they continue to add the pieces, that they could be very successful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you're excited?
Being cheap, man.
Yeah.
I'm just happy they invested in the O-line this year. That's all I'm happy for.
Yeah.
Hey, all you got is right now, and y'all went to the dance, so.
Yeah. But let's get started, man. Growing up, what was your favorite TV show?
Growing up, my favorite TV show?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Or shows. Ooh. Sounds you, yeah, you had to look like one is too hard to pick.
Yeah, so I mean, we gotta go Steve Harvey show.
Oh, okay.
Bernie Mac show.
Okay.
I was a big Mad TV guy when it was still on in its prime.
Okay.
Take it to a little cartoons. I was a big Recess guy, One Saturday Morning guy, Pepper Ann. Lloyd Space, Street Sharks, Static Shock. Those were my favorite shows right there.
What shows are these?
I miss all those. But I was going to double back on Steve Harvey because that's not one you hear all the time.
No, I like Steve Harvey.
What was Steve's name in the Steve Harvey show?
Steve Hightower.
Steve Hightower. He wasn't even Steve Harvey. Yes. Was he the principal? He wasn't the principal. He was a teacher,
No, he was
right?
the teacher.
Because the principal was
said in.
Nah, he was the coach.
Yeah,
he was the gym coach.
Yeah, he was.
The Regina was the principal.
Yep, Regina was the principal.
Yeah,
I miss all those cartoons though.
Yeah, I do remember Recess, but I don't remember some of the other ones. What was some of the other?
That was like towards like the later. Pepper Ann came on when Recess was on.
Pepper Ann.
Pepper Ann.
See, my mom had us cleaning, so I missed all that stuff. By that time, the whole house smelled like Fabuloso. It sounds like Sade.
It was Saturday morning. It was time to clean up.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I was, obviously Batman. But right after Batman, though.
Oh, Batman, the animated series.
No. Batman, Adam West.
On Saturday mornings?
Ooh. Yeah, it used to be on at 11 o'clock. Don't try to age me.
You was going to say you're a little bit older than me. See, I missed that too.
I appreciate how you said I was a little bit older.
I thought you was talking about Batman, the animated one where he had like the little short ears and the white eyes.
I watched that one. Yeah. But I'm talking about Adam West. Jeez.
Yeah,
Batman.
With Robin.
That was Saturday morning. and we can't mention it. But that's when wrestling would follow after that. Mm-hmm. I will watch wrestling.
Okay.
Right? And that's where my love for wrestling was there.
Superstars.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Beefcake. Get you a haircut.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We got to get into the nostalgia.
Yeah, so.
I feel like Angelo going to rock with us a little bit more when it comes to that nostalgia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Man, you was talking about snacks before you got on here. What's one of your go-to snacks?
Gummy worms.
Proud of that.
Gummy worms. That's been my go-to ever since I was a little kid.
Really? So when you go to movies, you'll get gummy worms?
Oh, yeah. Well, not really get gummy worms. Sneak them into the movies.
Bingo.
I mean, this is a recorded line.
They really sell
line,
gummy
brother.
Worms at the movie now. Theater. So like,
this is a recorded line, brother. Yo, I go with Red Vines. Huh? I go with Red Vines.
Oh, Red Vines. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a Twizzlers guy. I like Red Vines with the popcorn. I sneak them in too. I ain't gonna lie. Because they don't have Red Vines. They got Twizzlers. I don't know why I want no Twizzlers.
Yeah.
They ain't real.
Some of the licorice they got is like pretty shaky. Yeah. I'll pay for the popcorn, but candy, I got to sneak in on my own.
Yeah. Even the popcorn, like $17.
No, it's like 10. You know, it's funny. This is way off topic. Way off topic. Right. Is it 10 bucks?
It's,
I think it's a small one.
It's expensive.
Here's the craziest thing. You want to talk about my dad used to, before we went to the movies, we would go to the 99 cent store, right? And get candy at the 99 cent store. It was like five of them for 99 cents. And I never understood, like, why are we going to 99 cent store where the good candy is at the register? We was poor. That's why. He should have just told me, but I didn't realize
it. Yeah, that, and I still do it now. Shoot,
drug
it's
mule. It's you said drug mules.
Right. I'm learning. I'm leaning towards that way too with my kids.
Don't go to 99 cent store, dog. Mm-hmm. Like, because I didn't realize, like, the
teaching them economy.
Man, but some of the candy at the 99 cent store ain't up to date, dog.
Yeah.
Now that's your responsibility as a parent. Check the dates.
Oh, man.
Hey, check the dates, but it built that immune system. Yeah.
Right.
There's COVID, which is contagious, mm-hmm. but then there's salmonella for black folks. Nah, we good.
Yeah. Never heard of that.
Yeah, you know when you heard about it though? When you eat the motherfucking potato salad, mm-hmm, that always gets you.
I don't know how we got from potato salad to
it's true
to
though,
candy.
Huh? Well, you can eat old candy.
Now that's an enter at your own risk, right? If you eat somebody else's potato salad.
You eat some old candy, some questionable protein. Right? You see, I wasn't going to say. You eat some questionable protein and still make it.
Yeah.
But you eat some other folk potato salad, man, it'll run through you. Hey, about 3 a.m., I'm here.
Yeah. We're fresh off Memorial Day.
Hey, it's time, brother. Wake up. Wake up.
Oh, man. All right, let's get into it. Hey, man. Man, where you from in a place you call your hometown?
I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. Grew up in Fairfield, which is basically Cincinnati, just mm-hmm. like 10 minutes away. Grew up there. The same school as Jackson Carmen, one of the Bengals' old linemen.
I was sure about to say, who the hell is Jackson Carmen? Yeah, I was going to Google. That was a gold.
Well, he played at Clemson.
Man, it's like, nah, I didn't go to school with Jordan. I went with Jackson Carmen. Damn. Yeah. Not Joe Burrow. Right.
I graduated before him, though.
CJ Uzama. Right. No, just some lineman we don't know about. I like it, though. I love your pride, man. I love your pride. Yeah. I'm the same way with L.A., bro. So I love the pride. It's where you're from is where you're from. Can't deny it. You know, if you're proud of it, you're always representing, you're always cheering for it. So, man, that's remarkable. That's awesome. You know, tell us, growing up in Fairfield, Ohio / Cincinnati, what are some of the things that you experienced that has impacted you when you sit down and think about it?
Some of the things that impacted me, just being able to, grow up. It was just me and my mom. So, I just pretty much had to grow up and be a man pretty early, and just learn how to be the man of the house and be able to take care of things and being able to answer adversity. And my mom was pretty tough on me anyway, like with school, she kept me out of trouble, put me in sports. So I was pretty busy during the summer when school wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I just stayed busy, stayed playing sports and stayed out of trouble.
You made the statement of having been a man in the house, what did that mean to be the man in the house? What were those responsibilities that you're referring to?
So, like, there'd be times when my mom would get off late from work. So, mm-hmm. like, sometimes I'll have to cook dinner and stuff like that, mm-hmm. make sure my homework's done. Sometimes clean the house up and make sure everything's good so my mom ain't really got to worry about it, to where, like, she just comes in, she can just, you know what I'm saying, get off her feet for a little bit, watch a little TV, eat a little meal, go to bed, make sure everything's good, and then do whatever she needed to do. And I just basically just took care of that as much as I could whenever I saw that, like, I had to pick up the slack that she was not going to be home late. I always made sure when she said, hey, take the chicken out the freezer, it was out the freezer.
Yeah, you got to.
Because you learned the hard way.
Yeah, I learned the hard way about
what is the alternative?
You know, the
pork and grits.
What?
Pork and grits.
Pork and grits.
Pork out your mouth, grit your teeth.
Yeah. You're
hungry. Straight hungry, dog. I know what you're saying.
So when you were growing up, what were those initial dreams? What did you want to be when you grew up back then? What did you dream about?
I honestly wanted to be in the NFL, actually. I wanted to play football when I was younger. Hmm. But that ended up not working out necessarily. Like, I had no plans of ever wrestling. I didn't even know wrestling really existed until I knew WWE existed, but I didn't know like amateur wrestling existed until I was a junior in high school. And our security guard at the school, he was one of the wrestling coaches, and he was like, "Hey, you should come try out for the wrestling team.
Hold on.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, to help you out with football." My mom wasn't really up for it. She wanted me to play basketball. So I was like, "Oh, no, I'll go try wrestling." And then I tried it. I mean, the practices were hard, but the mm-hmm. tournaments and the dual meets, mm-hmm. a lot of fun. And I just became like really good at it. Mm. But I still like focused on football. I ended up graduating high school and going to JUCO college in Harper College in Illinois. Mm. And I played football there. I had no intentions of wrestling after high school. Like, I had to cut weight to get to 215. I wanted to enjoy Thanksgiving. Enjoy Christmas, be able to eat a lot, and get a hold of some potato salad during those holidays. But I had no plans of wrestling in college after high school. And so a bunch of heavyweights got hurt, and the wrestling coach came and tried to recruit me to come wrestle for him in college. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna go home and enjoy myself. And then second semester started, and our defensive coordinator tracked me down on campus, dragged me to the wrestling coach's office, said, "Hey, got your heavyweight here." And I was like, "Oh, I guess I'm wrestling." And so I ended up wrestling in college. I was like one match away from All-American with like half the season already done. And then I ended up getting recruited to go to WWE. So I wanted to be a football player, and I ended up becoming a professional wrestler.
Well, let's unpack that. One, who's the security guard in high school that introduced you to wrestling?
Kenny Powell.
Okay, Kenny Powell. Defensive coordinator at your college, where there's 4-year community, I don't care what it is, it's still at college, and you're pursuing that. How did that sit with you a little bit?
At that point in time, I was like, all right, I guess I ain't got no choice in the matter.
Did you play football after that, or you just were in?
Oh, no, I still played football.
Oh, okay.
I did both. I did both football and wrestling. So, like, we had just got done with football season, and we ended up winning the national championship for JUCO that year.
Congratulations.
For non-scholarship JUCO. And I was done. The season was done. Just getting ready for the off season, getting ready for next season and all that stuff. And they just told me to go, like, "Hey, we want you to go join wrestling." I don't know if it was just to keep me busy, just to, like, make sure I don't like do anything crazy, and like make sure I keep my head straight and focused all mm-hmm. year, so I can like do be good and be the best I could be. But it was just like, oh, and I also think it was like a bunch of the guys from the football team, we had like a little deal where like some of us wrestled. So like some of us would get together and wrestle, and I ended up beating everybody. So they're like, "Oh, yo, Docs is pretty good." So they was like, "Hey, we got this kid on the football team who's like, he's pretty good at football, but he can help you out in wrestling." And so that's how that came about. And he just dragged me to the room. He's like, "Hey, got your heavyweight." Got there, wrestled. And then that's ended up how I ended up here.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers. I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
How did you get the attention of WWE when you were wrestling in college? Talk a little bit about that transition.
So that transition, we were at National Duels.
What's National Duels?
So like I'm getting ready for a match. And like our wrestling coaches like to play tricks on us and stuff like that, mm-hmm. play little jokes. So like they were like, hey, yo, Vince McMahon's right hand man is here to see you. He wants to talk to you. I'm like, what? And I'm like, nah, whatever, man. Like, leave me alone. Let me focus on this real quick. And so they were like, nah, we're dead serious. I'm like, yeah, whatever, bro. Like, all right, I'll play along with this joke. After. Like, let me focus on this match, man. So I'm like getting warmed up, go out there. I wrestle, match is over with, I win, come back, I'm over here on the chair, breathing hard, like, freaking trying to, like, barely could drink any water at that point in time. Yeah. Sure enough, Jerry Briscoe comes up and is like, hey, I'm Jerry Briscoe for the WWE. I'd like to talk to you about coming to trial for WWE. I was like, oh.
So it wasn't a joke.
All right.
Yeah, I was like, oh, so you guys were telling the truth?
Like, do you have any idea how you got on there? Do you have any idea how you got on their radar? Like, were you a ranked wrestler, or are they sending scouts out to look? Like, I guess so, give us an insight on that.
So at that point in time, I was ranked nationally. But Jerry Briscoe, he used to wrestle amateurly as well. He was an amateur wrestler as well for Oklahoma State. He was all American back in the day. So that's in. He wrestled in WWE for a very long time, and he was in the front office. He would be the one that would go recruit like the guys like Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, like all those amateur wrestlers, Kurt Angle. He was the guy that recruited those guys, and because he would go to all the tournaments and whatever and be like, hey, like, I think you'd be really good. You should give it a try or whatever if you want. And so it was just like we talked from there, and he ended up getting me a tryout later on that year, and then I've been here ever since.
In wrestling, right, professional wrestling, amateur wrestling, why do they need to – why having the history, does it benefit you? Because obviously, like Miz, you know, not everybody has the history of wrestling in college or wrestling in high school. Some, you know, some have learned the professional – aspect of it by trial and error.
Right. Learning the moves were pretty, like, it got pretty easy. It took a little while, but like learning the moves were pretty easy just because like athletes can like can learn pretty fast.
Yeah.
Now the theatrical part of it, the entertainment part, now that was a part that kind of like I struggled with when I first got there, because I'm always like serious and I'm like ready to go, like I'm in the zone, but like I need to be like show my face more, make more facial expressions, be more entertaining after I do a move instead of just like going right on them. Like I hit a drop kick, get the crowd riled up stuff like that. And like, you know what I'm saying? Just celebrate.
You get into wrestling by, you know, being dynamic in college. You go through the process and you try out. How was trying out for you in your particular journey getting to the pinnacle you are today?
It was actually a crazy experience because I didn't know what I was getting myself into necessarily. Like when I first got there, like I was in college, I didn't really have money for a suit. So like I showed up in like house shoes and sweatpants and a hoodie. Everybody else is like decked out in suits and stuff. I'm like, oh, whoa, guess I didn't get that memo. So like it was just like, oh, snap. And like people were just looking at me like, yo, who is this guy? Like, what is he doing here? How did he even get, like, how did he get in the door? I'm like, I don't even know, man.
You trying to figure it out as right. well.
So in
the- Yeah, I'm like, hey, I'm with y'all, Dark. I'm trying to figure this out myself, man. I was like, I did not know we were supposed to come up here. I was like, because in my mind, I'm thinking tryout, like, nothing about that and saying suit, tie, like, a polo, nothing. I just showed up, house shoes.
Ready to wrestle. You ready to wrestle. All
right.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I got my wrestling shoes, I got my book bag, and that's it.
You showed him like a basketball tryout. Yeah. but seriously, yeah. though, in those moments, though, did you ever find yourself like playing that comparison game? Because I just know being a wrestling fan and coming up, like you'd hear those stories of like Bret Hart's dad that would train all those people like in his basement. Did you ever play that comparison game? Because there are so many people that come into the business in various ways. Did you ever have that comparison game? Because there were cats that were there that had the boots and had the suits and had all those different things. Did you ever fall into that comparison game?
Sometimes a little bit. But then like, after a couple years, like once I got hired in like a couple years, that kind of like left. And it was just like, look, I'm gonna be me no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I've always been the guy that's always been very relaxed, very laid back, and like never tried to worry about anybody else and try to control everything that I can control for me. And so and for a minute, I did play that little game. Like, it was like, oh, man, dang, dog, this dude miles ahead of me. Like, but then again, like, the cool part about it was I had zero experience coming in to that said profession. Those guys have been doing it for, like, double-digit years, like, 10 years. Like, I was in middle school when some of those dudes were, some of the guys there were, like, wrestling already around the world and stuff like that. The furthest I've ever been was Illinois, pretty much outside of Ohio. So I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. The trial was in Florida. I've never been in Florida before, so I've never been that far away from home. But like, I learned from them, but at the same time, it was just like, all right, I can't really play this comparison game, because if I play this comparison game with them, I'm going to find myself out of here really fast. And so it was just more of a, how can I find a way to stand out? And I stood out. Definitely with the sweatpants and house shoes.
Yeah,
everybody has suits. I was the only one there just chilling like, oh, all right.
A lot of athletes, some more than others, are able to process or eliminate the internal dialogue, right? The mental aspect of it. But I do think there is some people who, I think, and it's just me, there are some athletes who that's the only way they can operate is by comparison, right? That compare. And I think hearing everything you're saying is you basically walked in there knowing you were inexperienced and you were okay with being inexperienced, right? And so,
yeah,
you know, where did the comfortability come from for you with being okay with being inexperienced? Because not everybody likes being inexperienced. Not everybody is comfortable being the young buck or being the person who doesn't know everything.
It had its moments where just like it felt pretty bad. Like I had no idea what I was getting myself into, and I had no idea how to operate and stuff like that. But once I started getting more comfortable, I have to give credit to like my coaches that were there, like Coach Norman Smiley. At the time when he was there, Coach Billy Gunn, when he was there, he was the one that was like digging in, trying to like bring me out of my comfort zone and like just to express myself and like, look, it's okay that you're inexperienced, but you like, there's a lot of people that come in that are inexperienced. Heck, there's a lot of people that come in here that are experienced and they're still inexperienced because they don't know what they're doing in a way. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, just to be inexperienced, as long as you're learning and you're getting better and you're starting to have fun, that's all that matters. And once him, Norman, Robbie Brookside, and Terry Taylor all sat me down and told me that, that's when I was like, all right.
You never traveled outside of Ohio, and then obviously going to college, you traveled to Illinois.
Yeah.
So other than that, what places and where have you been that you never thought a million years that you would be sleeping in a hotel? I ask that is, there are sometimes when I travel, I will sometimes look out my hotel room, and it's not always if you're in a hotel enough, you know, and not every hotel room has a great view. Sometimes, like if you go to New York,
yeah,
you could be in a 5-star hotel and in New York be looking at a brick window, right? Looking outside your window, it could be a brick wall, right? It just happens to be, that's just how that concrete jungle. So, you know, when you sit back and look at 31 years old, you know, where you started, how you traveled very limited mileage, but yet today you've been able to travel beyond where even your imagination can take you.
Right. I mean, yeah, I have to say the UK. Never did I ever think I would be in the UK.
And what'd you experience in the UK that made you glow and light up the way you just did?
It was just like the whole atmosphere. So like that was when I got introduced to soccer, because I never really watched soccer over here.
Yeah.
So like going over there, when we first went over there, there was like a huge soccer game happening. So like I was just like, it was just like how we are with football here. Just like everybody just gets together at a bar or whatever, drinking it up or whatever, just having fun, watching the game, doing cheers and stuff like that, just talking smack. But yeah, it was like that. I got to experience that, which was nuts. Being near Wembley Stadium, we haven't gone inside of it, but we were at the hotel right next to it. I believe that's where like some of the NFL games are played, at Wembley.
You are correct.
And like we've had shows at like the Wembley Hall, and like being there, like that whole like little city right there is just insane, just because like it's just nuts. The fish and chips are good. And not like the people are just really nice. Took me a minute to get used to the accent, but they're just really nice over there. And it's just like, I don't know, it's just
cool.
Different than over here.
What about where are some other places?
For starters, I got to say Miami.
Okay. Why?
The first time I went there, that was an experience.
Yeah.
You had never, some, never you had thought money I'd ever be pocket. In Miami.
You had some money in your pocket, huh?
No.
Miami broke, ain't it?
He has some money in his pocket. Yeah,
me too.
Like we put money together, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Make it a good time. when I first moved to Florida, one of the weekends that we actually had off and we didn't have any shows, we went to Miami for a weekend and just kicked it there. One of our boys, like his cousin lived there, so like we already had a place to stay, and it was just like, that was like a whole different atmosphere, going to the beach and stuff. Yeah. I wasn't really used to that. From there, Vegas, that was another experience.
Yeah.
on the company dime. That was on the company dime right there.
Yeah.
We also, LA was another one, another place. I was like, oh, wow, this is insane. And then Dallas, where we had WrestleMania this past year. Mm. And that was our first actual WrestleMania after COVID. So,
how'd you come up with your nickname?
I was beating my roommates in Madden and Fight Night. And I was just running the sticks for like 2.5 hours straight, just couldn't lose. And then I was just like, bro, like, it's not like I'm trying to do this, dog. It's like I'm cursed with it, dog. I'm cursed with greatness right now. It's just not letting me let y'all win. Like, I can't help myself.
You're not being unapologetic for your greatness.
Yeah. I was just like, and I was just joking around. And so, like, and that was also the cool part, too. Like, I had roommates at the time. They were, like, also wrestling with me. And they had way, way more experience than I ever had. So, like, that was still when I was still kind of trying to, like, find myself on, like, the entertainment aspect of things and stuff like that. So, like, the way I am at home is completely different than the way I was at when we were practicing or, like, when we have matches and stuff like that. And they were like, bro, you should try this. Hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, what? Like, very next day, I went out there and I started talking about how great I was, and I was getting booed.
So now
I'm getting cheered. So that's the cool part.
So you end up finding yourself. You make your TV debut in 2012. And what was that like? Like, you've gone through this training program, all these things you've talked about previously in this podcast, but to walk out and whether you're getting booed or jeered, but to see all those people and you're now in that squared circle and you see all these people, whether they're cheering or booing, like what was that moment like?
It was a little nerve wracking. It was my first time being on TV. So that you have I just wanted to go out there and put on a good match.
You got a radio face or TV face?
I got a radio face?
Yeah, I'm asking. You got radio face or TV face for television?
I mean, I got both.
Yeah.
There's strength in honesty.
I like asking that because sometimes people, they freeze out. They're like, well, do I? You know, I'm...
They start second guessing. Yeah. I got a TV face. And I'm like, nah, bro, you got a radio face.
You partner up with Montez Ford. Y'all are the Street Profits. WWE Raw Tag Team Champions. WWE SmackDown Champions. Next Tag Smackdown. Team Champions. Evolve Tag Team Championships. What's the culmination, or what was the coming of age story of the Street Profits?
That was all Triple H. Honestly, me and Tez were already boys before. Mm-hmm. I was already there before him. He started in 2015, 16, I believe. I started in 2012.
Yep.
At that point in time, like, it was crazy because I was really young. So I've been there longer than majority of pretty much everybody, but I was still younger than everybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was weird. It was like I was the vet, but not really at that point in time when he got there. So one day we had a match, like, right after each other, and Triple H was like, hey, like, let's see how those two work together. And sure enough, it was like, oh, it worked out because we were already boys anyway. Sometimes when you get put with somebody in a tag team, y'all really ain't that cool or whatever. It's just more of like an acquaintance thing. But we were really cool. Mm. We were best friends. And then we just took off running from then. As soon as Triple H was like, hey, make them a tag, took the ball and ran with it.
And so who came up? Which one of you geniuses came up with the name?
Street Profits?
Yeah.
It was a universal thing.
Universal?
Yeah. It was us and Trips.
Okay. You lost me on that one. Right. Universal.
I was like, the label? Dang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, we working y'all on something.
Right. Next thing you know, y'all going to be the... Y'all got an album dropping too?
Drake. Right. Oh, my God. Watch out.
Yeah. I thought Drake and Harlow just had a collaboration, but now we got Street Profits dropping.
Like, dang.
Right.
I don't allowed me to kind of profile.
I was like, damn, they got a deal. Damn. Street Profits.
It threw me off too. I was
streaming on all DSPs.
Hey, I was stuck. I was like, okay. Right.
It's like, all right, man, I see you, dog.
Right. I was like, dang. I mean, these brothers got a whole bunch of tag team championships, but now they got a deal.
Like, I was like, yeah, I'm looking. missed that one.
Right. That wasn't in the research.
Yeah, I missed that one.
That's dope, though. Y'all have had a lot of success when you think about tag teams. Who are some of those tag teams from back in the day? I know I've got mine, but who are yours, Steve? Weigh in, but who are some of those influential tag teams that you draw inspiration from?
We got to go first and foremost, Harlem Heat.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if it's a coastal thing, but on the West Coast, like for us WWE, I didn't see the Harlem Heat. I saw Booker T was later for me, right? Booker T was in that. Okay. You know,
Once he got to the singles, I
grew up.
See, by that time, I was out of wrestling. By the time he was champion,
yeah. See, I grew up. Oh man, I grew up watching when Ricky the Dragon Boats, Ricky
Steamboat.
The Steamboat, when he got when they took the bell and like they carted him off late at night. See, I was watching back then Bruce the Barber Beefcake, Jake the Snake, Undertaker, the first Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so for me, it was such a I was watching when I was young, right? That, you know, that pay-per-view for the main events.
Yeah.
You know, or the main events were like super late at night.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm a little bit, like when I got older, I kind of phased out of it.
Yeah.
My grandpa kind of hurt my feelings on it. But anyway, so as WWE has risen, and became more of the storylines. I was watching it when it was less of storylines, more of wrestling, right? You know, Hulk Hogan, what are you going to do when you see these 22-inch pythons wrapped around you? Mr. T, you know, all these different characters. And when wrestling had a cartoon, Junkyard Dog, right? Kamala.
Yeah.
You know, those are the guys... Yeah. Hacksaw Jim Duggan with that 2x4. Those are the guys that I grew up watching. That Kurt Angle was on the back end for me. Like I look at Kurt Angle, and I kind of scratch my head. Not anything against him, but I just grew up where, man, Kurt Angle wouldn't have last back in the day, right? The Demolition when it was two, and then they added the big dude. It was the three. You know, Bret the Hitman Hart, like all these guys that was the way I watched wrestling. You know, just in ways that was extremely different. Like the storylines were just not as pertinent or in front of you. They were like the villain was Mr. Perfect, right? He was perfection. Lex Luger, like that stuff. That's the wrestling that I watched that's a little bit different. And I believe you guys would upgrade, right? You have the wrestling, but the storylines are something to follow and watch. And I think that's the difference. That's the difference of playing catch up that I'm playing right now.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from cuttoitpodcast.com where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year.
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Like, wrestling today now is like how, you know, like schoolyard fights, right? There's always a group of guys that would, you know, they bump shoulders and they go around in a circle, right? That means they didn't want to fight, right? And then old school wrestlers, like, soon as they try to have a conversation, man, they was getting...
Come to cheer.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, hey, man, you...
Right, they do an interview in the back. They chasing them in the back room. Right, who was the cop? I remember the dude, the big dude.
Big Boss Man.
Yes, like Big Boss Man. Right, like stuff like that, where like he get that Billy Club. Yeah. I mean, like, get him. Right.
I mean, looking back on it now. Dang.
Right? Yes, but it's just the craziness, right? Yeah. That's the nostalgic of wrestling that I grew up on, right? Seeing Ultimate Warrior run full speed from when they hit that music.
And when the music dropped?
Yeah. To that dude is running 100. His 40 time was bananas.
So you just, my other question was going to be, who had some of the best wrestling entrance music? That when it, boom, boom, boom.
As soon as they hit that Ultimate Warrior, he was full. Them tassels on his,
He owned one. Shaking the ropes.
Shaking that ropes. Right. Man, or the, or when you used to hit Hulk Hogan and he hit you, he get more fired up.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I think I'm just thinking about it. When I played, that's kind of where I got some of those theatrics from.
Oh, he was now all of a sudden you was Ultimate Warrior. Oh,
no. No, Hulk Hogan, right? Hulk Hogan. Hey, I've grown, man. Yeah. I just pieced it together. Yeah. I was like, I remember, man. Hulk Hogan used to get hit. He'd be talking. I'd be like, oh yeah. And then he get up.
Midi mania.
Boy.
Start eating all the punches.
Yeah, right.
Don't pause. Even affect it.
That's a pause.
But we went way off in a tangent. Who
a pause? Right.
That's a pause.
Oh. Yeah,
we went well off in a tangent though. Who were some of those influences for you? Like, you started right. You said Harlem Heat. Who else was it for you?
Harlem Heat, Hardy Boys, Dudley's, Edge and Christian.
Oh, man, I'm a little skinny dude. Man, I'm a little skinny dude with the X's on them.
Hey, they were...
They was
TLC
flipping.
Match they had?
Yeah, they was flipping and with the X on the back of their short.
Them and Hardy's, they had some. That's, again,
was... Yeah, I remember they had the pads on their shins and all that stuff, man. they was coming out there knocking the snot out of people.
Who was that with DX? The badass Billy Gunn and Jesse James. They had one. Gosh, who was Steiner Brothers?
Yeah, Mankind.
Oh, Mankind Undertaker. They did have a run, and The Rock.
Yeah, Mankind though. Mankind gave you some nightmares, bro.
Yeah, that was a scary ass little storyline right there.
He was.
I did used to get scared of Mankind when I was a kid.
True. A lot of people.
Right.
Undertaker, he eyes rolled back in his head.
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Undertaker, he was so agile. Yeah, Undertaker, that dude.
All right, last one. Nostalgia for all of us.
Andre the Giant. Sorry.
What? You just thinking of a...
Andre the Giant.
Okay.
Yeah. With that little...
Yeah, you just got excited talking about a giant, though.
Hey, Andre the Giant, like, he was like Sasquatch.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he could be nothing. Yeah,
and Big Show. Man.
Big Show.
Yeah.
Oh, Big Show was agile. Hey, Big Show was agile.
Yeah. Best finishing moves.
Tombstone. 3D.
Okay.
rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Got to put the people's elbow up there.
The people.
Stone Cold Stunner.
I was wondering where that was going to fall. Yeah, yeah. If we would have went through that top five, and Stone Cold Stunner wasn't on there.
Yeah.
Sharpshooter? That's not top five?
I like the Sharpshooter. Yeah, I get it.
I like the Sharpshooter, yeah, too.
Hey, they should freak out when that Sharpshooter
came. You know what? Let's take people's elbow out. Yeah. And put a Sharpshooter in
there for that one. Okay, okay. Yeah. We
can rock with that. What was the Ultimate Warriors, though, when he would lift them up?
Yeah, he kind of did like that little power slam kind of thing,
man,
right?
That power slam would give you that night.
Right.
Yeah.
Macho Man's
going
elbow.
Sleep after that.
He come off the top rope with the elbow.
Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah.
Macho Man.
I like Brutus the Barber Beefcake because he's.
I remember what his.
He would put you in the sleeper hole and then cut your hair.
Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah. So we just we're nerding out right now. It's a vibe.
If you sat in the barber chair when you're getting your hair cut,
you gotta. Man, why you get up? Oh, right.
My bad, man. Chair's too comfortable, dog.
Yeah.
That's. Just growing up as a kid, you know, doing that, and then you go out there, and then you go out there. Now, and those when those videos go when they had backyard brawls.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, somebody trying to get slammed. Or you have they would make rings in the backyards. Man, people was getting mollywopped in those backyards.
Yeah,
getting hurt, breaking arms and stuff.
See that right there is why his mama didn't want to wrestle.
On straight dirt.
Yep. I remember we had somebody who got an old mattress, right?
Yeah.
But the mattress already beat up. So you like we had a dude, Johnny was an idiot. And he was in, he put it on the side where the springs were already coming through the mattress.
Ooh. And y'all already had a Hell in a Cell matchup.
Yeah, he's stupid. Johnny wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed, but.
So what do you think the next 10 years look like for you?
Hmm.
Next 10 years?
Yeah.
Man, next 10 years, I'll be 41.
Mm. How you think? How you
hopefully
like that?
A lot more tag titles. Mm. Huh?
I said, you like it? You kind of look. He's like, 41.
I'll still be a pretty agile 41-year-old, you know? I'll still be able to move, I think. Hopefully, 10 years, more championships, more money in the bank.
I was just thinking about it. Like, you know, there's always, you hear about basketball players, you hear about the best situations, the good situations, right?
Yeah.
Football, baseball, you know, obviously baseball has no situation. Them dudes get paid.
Yeah,
they still getting paid though. What was that, Bobby
Bonilla?
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla. I think that's just about to run out next year.
Ken Griffey's still the sixth highest paid player on the Reds, and this dude ain't swung a bat since 2008. He's one of my favorite players.
That's got to make you feel real good about your Reds when you look at this. When you look at that on the salary cap, dang,
this dude's queen. Look, your kid gonna be graduating high school by the time they stop paying Ken Griffey, huh?
Yeah, I know. Like, dang, man.
What do you imagine, based off what you're experiencing right now? What do you imagine or thinking about your future economically, based on some of the statistics of other leagues, of professional leagues?
I like my chances. As long as I'm good with everything, money wise, and smart with it, I'm okay. Like, there's situations like I never thought I would be in. This is definitely one of them where I'm like even thinking about that in the long run. But
was that though? What do you mean that was?
Like thinking about like being that financially set in a way. Like in my mind, like it's some. You talking about the things that like catch me off guard. Sometimes I have to like sit back and be like, oh snap. I'm like really in a pretty good position. Yeah. Like I just bought my house 2 years ago.
Oh, congratulations.
So like, it's just like, oh wow. I just bought a house. Like, man, holy crap. Like,
so do you have a financial guy that's helping you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. How's that been?
For you? It's been really good. It's been very good. He's helped me out a lot. it's just like, especially he's also a family friend, so like that helps out because already like we already knew him. Mm-hmm. So he like he's helped me out a lot. I mean, I haven't really spent on anything that was like crazy or outrageous or nothing. So like the most I've ever spent was for this house. That was awesome. It. And it's just like, all right, cool. Like obviously like I got a PlayStation or all that, but other than that, it's just been like being smart with my money, saving it, and just, you know what I'm saying? Just
living life.
Living a simple life. As simple as I can live it.
Yeah, that's good. Well, man, we appreciate your time, man.
Yes, sir.
Looking forward to watching you.
Thank you for having me, man. This was awesome.
Yeah. Looking forward to keep watching you. Cursed the curse of greatness. Appreciate it.
Hey, no, hey, I'm going to have to tell everybody that I wrestle now to ice up, son.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut To It. Cut To It with Steve Smith Sr. That is me. Is a production of Cut To It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut To It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut To It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.